Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Beamer on News Radio 930 WBEN. Welcome back. Yes, we're talking the fallout from last night's primary. Jeremy Zellner, embarrassing defeat in the 61st Senate District. John Rivera will be the next senator in that district. And Karen Hoke, also embarrassingly defeated by Adam Bojack. Again, these are endorsed Democrats in one case, the other case, an endorsed chairman of the party, losing to far left progressives. What is your takeaway from last night? Jay is in Amherst and he'll kick things off. Jay, thank you so much for hanging on through the break.
Hey, Joe. Just want to take like a little analysis on who won and why the other people lost. And what I see is like Bojack and Rivera, they're sincere. Whether their policies are insane, whether they're, you know, call themselves Democrats, socialists, but they're more actually in the line of a Marxist, you know, they believe it and they're very genuine and sincere, and it comes across. So they're both like, even if you know that they would ruin this country, they're likable. When I see the ads for Hoke on her Instagram, they're painful to watch. And she's, you know, saying, destroy ICE, tax the rich. And it just, you know, build on your strengths. Like, hey, I was a councilwoman. And then I ran the public works. And now I want to do this in Albany. Instead, she's, like, selling, you know, something that she's not. And Jeremy Zellner, very insincere. I'm surprised that he didn't know to just build on his strengths, which are to be like the mafia boss of the Democrat Party. You know, I go to Albany. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to stand up for Western New York against all the other interests throughout the state. And I've proven that I can build coalitions, get other people elected. He should have just fed off of that. Instead, he was defund ICE, fight Trump, you know, Carl Paladino's a racist, giving money to the Marxist Rivera. Like, nobody believes any of it. It's just all so insincere. I can't believe he didn't know. Just build on your own strengths.
Yeah, I, Jay, what do you think is the future of of Jeremy Zellner? Does he stay in the chair? Does he? What do you think he's able to do?
I don't understand, and I tried to think about this last night, but he'll squeeze something out for himself. He's got, you know, another 6 months in office, and he'll shake enough hands and find somewhere. You know, typically a guy like him might end up on the, like, parole board, you know, something where a governor just kind of tucks you away but gives you a nice salary.
You know, there's always a parachute for these people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, And that's what he should have built on is, like, I have done it. I have been here. I have fought the fight. I've helped, you know, elect so many more Democrats. Hey, that's all he needed to say. And just trust in me that I have the interests of the party.
Yeah.
To try to out Rivera when the guy really believes and loves Marxist policies. I mean, Jeremy Zellner as a kid did not grow up as a Marxist, like, and as a party boss. That's not his philosophy. He was a party boss. Go sell that to the voters.
Yeah, but I think, Jay, I think later, I think when we got closer to the election, he realized that's a turnoff. That's a turnoff. Hey, I want to arrange the dominoes and benefit from the dominoes that I arranged.
Very, very good point. But it doesn't work in primary voters. Like, you know, if I think there's a guy named Kevin Stocker. He's running against Nick Langworthy. Kevin was technically a Republican a long time ago. I mean, if he went out and tried to sell himself as a Republican to Republicans, like to Republican primary voters today, they would just know it's very insincere. That's not what you believe in. So the litmus test for a primary voter is, you know, what's good for the party? You know, who do I think I like? But it comes down a lot to the sincerity. And the people that are fired up are coming out of that intersectionality, any cause, as long as you're there with me and you've been there. You know, the one guy in Long Island, he wouldn't call it a genocide what Israel's doing right now. And he
yes.
led the Trump impeachment, and they remove him. You know, so unless you pass every litmus test and you show that you believe it and you're excited about it, and it, you know, the people on the extreme far left, they're gonna cut you to pieces. They despise Zellner, and it's like he is what he is. You know, he's a party boss. Like, how do you despise him? But they do.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's another thing. He was able to get most of his donations from outside his district. He was able to get these endorsements from everyone because they wanted a favor from him as the chair of the party.
Well, is that? But he also helped them get elected. You know. But God, those Hoke ads. Why somebody who's just a run of the mill Democrat talking about tax the rich, destroy ICE. I mean, and she's wearing like a road safety jacket, and it's like, wait, you're the public parks commissioner, deputy commissioner of roads, and you're talking about defunding ICE it's all so insincere and so fake, and it comes through for primary voters, and especially the ones that get fired up.
Yeah, I think, I mean, they obviously were fired up for Rivera and definitely for Adam Bojack. My gosh, a 16-point win. Jay, appreciate the call. Let's go to East Aurora. That's where Brad is. Hey, Brad.
Thank you for taking the call. Full disclosure, registered Republican, taxpayer. I love the United States of America. If I could sit down and have a cup of coffee with Jeremy Zellner, and I've never met him, and I don't have dislike for the man, I just don't know him, I would explain to him my perception of why he lost. And I would take out my computer and show him some of his campaign ads. And he's so extreme. Jeremy, you said negative things about the president, referring to him as a bigot, as a racist. Jeremy, you lost because you went so extreme. You leaned into hate, and then you deployed dishonesty to try to build yourself. That never works, Jeremy. Jeremy referred to Carl Paladino as a racist. I'm not sure that's true. I actually do know Carl Paladino. I can tell you for a fact he's been generous, philanthropically generous, to institutions of higher education here in Erie County that support students of color. So I'm not sure where Jeremy's getting his facts. I think he's just pushing out hot air to try to persuade people to have hate for his opponents, and it backfired. So, Jeremy, I would say if you're going to run again, rethink your campaign strategy. Use some honesty. Use some facts. And try not to hate, because we got too much of that going on right now. End of comment. Thanks for taking my call.
Brad, appreciate the call. You know, Brad touched on it. The focusing on Trump, and I asked Jeremy Zeltner this on Hardline 2 weeks ago, the focusing on Donald Trump when you're running against John Rivera. You're running for the Democratic nomination. And Zeltner made this entire campaign about Trump, Trump, Trump. As I always say, focus on national, ignore the shenanigans going on with the Erie County Democrats. And obviously, that didn't work. Now, don't get me wrong. John Rivera wasn't singing Trump's praises on the campaign trail, right? But Zeltner made his entire campaign, until it was too late, in my opinion, about Trump. And then, obviously, internal polling, all of a sudden, he's doing videos with Lavin, with Flynn, with polling cars, with Hochul. He's talking about John Rivera. He's attacking John Rivera. But, you know, until the final weeks of this race, if I would have played that spot for someone in North Carolina, they would have thought this is someone running for a national seat, and they just weren't. And, you know, you wonder now, I mean, did you put your eggs all in one basket? Because I continue to go back to the point, and, you know, no offense to Ken Crulley, I like Ken Crulley a lot, but I completely disagree with him. I think it would be very difficult for Jeremy Zeltner to now walk into the office and maintain some type of control, some type of leadership, when he just got embarrassed by John Rivera. And John Rivera, you know, worked his butt off. And I, you know, John and I do not see the world the same. We do not see, we're not politically eye to eye, but I give John Rivera all the credit in the world. He didn't back down to the party boss. He ran a heck of a campaign. He came on this station numerous times to get his message out there. You know, Zeltner came once again when I think he looked at the polling and go, ooh, I got to start doing some campaigning. So I don't want to take anything away from John Rivera. Again, I do not believe the country should move as far left as John Rivera, I think, would like to see it. But I think John Rivera deserved the win. And I think he took a very difficult task. It was an uphill battle with all that money spent against him, with all those elected officials against him. I think it was a very difficult thing. And he didn't just win. He embarrassed the chair of the party. Like, I'd love to see other examples where that happened. And the chairman's back in the office the next day. All right, we got to work on this campaign. Wait, the campaign you just ran against? Maybe it's time for someone else to step in. I think Jeremy Zeltner was also getting a little too comfortable with all that extra money coming in from state Senate. So we'll see. It'll be very interesting. It'll be very interesting how this plays out. And obviously we'll keep our eyes on it. Hoping to talk with John Rivera on Hardline this Sunday on News Radio 930 WBEN. Now that the primaries are over, we're also going to be focusing on the November elections, right? The general elections. You have a race for assembly against Karen McMahon. We'll be talking to her opponent, hoping to talk to the assemblywoman at some time. You've heard from Pat Burke and Gary Dixon. That will be, you know how all the focus was on the 61st Senate District. There will be a lot of focus on the Burke-Gary Dixon race. I think Gary Dixon's a strong Republican candidate. This is a guy that was able to win in, you know, an area that's not very red, right? It's more of a toss-up, and he was able to get term limited out. And Pat Burke, he won a squeaker last time. But also, I mean, the Pat Burke thing, this kind of goes right into Jeremy Zeltner we were talking about. Pat Burke wants to run for county executive. Well, if you lose in the assembly race, I don't think you can then, the next year, run for county executive. We'll see. People have done it. But obviously the eyes now go on those races locally, and obviously nationally, the midterms. Speaking of the midterms, this wasn't, this is not technically a topic that I want to talk about, but I think an interesting move by the president to not sign the landmark housing bill And, you know, you can look at this both ways. The landmark housing bill, it's the one thing that, the one major policy that had bipartisan support. However, you know, the president wants the SAFE Act. He wants the SAFE Act. He wants Republicans to push through the SAFE Act. And he feels like a lot of Republicans have been kind of, hey, we tried and not really willing to do whatever it takes. And, you know, this is the way you have to look at it. I'm not saying this is the way things are going to happen. This is the way you have to look at it. Next year, or this November, there's a good chance Republicans lose the House or the Senate. There's a decent chance they lose both houses. This is your opportunity to get something done. And the way I look at the SAFE Act, if you don't get voter ID passed, I think you start to waste Trump's second term. I really do. If we can't get the Save America, if we can't get legislation that will make people more comfortable about their elections. And again, this is not, this should not be partisan. There is bipartisan support outside of Washington, you know, in the real world. There is bipartisan support for voter ID. Every metric you look at, people support Democrats, Republicans, white people, black people, Latin, Asian, women, men. I think the only metric is single liberal women, might be the only one, right? Or non-binary biological female, might be the only one that doesn't support voter ID. If you can't get this done, and you look at it this way, if Democrats were in power, they would do whatever it took to rush legislation through. If they were in this situation, let's say Sleepy Joe was on his second term, and they knew there's a good chance they lose both houses, at least one. They would do whatever it took to rush legislation through. We've seen it before. We've seen it. And for these Republicans in Senate to because what? Because Trump said something bad about him, because he endorsed their opponent. You care more about petty games with Trump, Mitch McConnell, than you do about America's future? I think Senate Republicans should do whatever it takes to push the SAVE Act through. And you know what? If Trump doesn't want to sign the housing bill until that gets passed, I understand. I understand. I think the housing bill needs to be signed, by the way. But put a little bit of pressure on Republicans, because they're obviously not feeling it anywhere else. Put some pressure on Republicans. Do you care more about your petty disagreements with the president on your way out the door than you do about the future of American elections? That's what I want to know. And we'll see. We're gonna do one of Joe Beamer's favorite topics after the news. We're gonna talk about downtown Buffalo. The big rubber duck is coming to Buffalo, and it gives us a side by side of downtown Buffalo 10 years ago when the duck was here and now. So we're gonna talk about that when we come back. I've got to share a story with you, ladies and gentlemen, and I kind of want some feedback on what this is, right? So over the weekend, you know, We had a little bit of nice time on Saturday, and we're outside on our patio grilling. I'll tell you, I got a grill, a real grill. You know, when we lived in the apartment, it was electric grill. You couldn't have a real grill. It's like, this is nice. You got a real grill now with gas and fire. Smells good. So we're out grilling, and my son has the stomp rocket. He loves that thing. He likes when I do it. You know, I have to be careful, because if I do the stomp rocket, it's going to end up on the roof. So we're back there, and these kids come by, and you know, I love my son's social. He'll talk even at three. He'll at least laugh. And these kids are like, can we try the stomp rocket? And like, yeah, of course. And they're all having fun. We also have a basketball hoop on our patio. So we're having fun. The kids leave, and it's back to just us. And then they come back with like this little go-kart thing. Well, the go-kart breaks down. The rest of the kids leave. The go-kart breaks down. The kid that is on the go-kart, you know, starts crying, obviously. He goes, oh, this is brand new, and it's only going backwards. So, you know, I'm an idiot when it comes to tech, but I'm like, oh, it's probably like a fuse. Would you like me to carry it to your house? So I carry this, he lives like four doors down. I carry this to his house. I flip the cart over and I said, you're going to want to get one of your parents to get a screwdriver and take this box off. I think you'll find what the problem is. He says, well, I don't really trust my dad to do that. I said, well, if I do it, I'll break it. So just tell your dad I think there's something wrong here. And no lie, the kid looks at me and says, are you going to kidnap me? What? I said, no, you asked me to carry this to your house. I was doing you a favor. He goes, I'm really scared you're going to kidnap me. What, the guy that lives four doors down? No, are you kidding me? And it was like really uncomfortable. So I go, all right, man, we'll see ya. I feel bad for the kid. I hope he didn't have like some traumatic event happen in his life. But this kid, he couldn't have been more than 10 years old. And like in the middle of a regular conversation where I'm saying, tell your parents, I think the problem's here, but I don't really know. And he turns and gets all serious. Are you going to kidnap me? Are kids really living with that fear? I mean, it's good to have your guard up. But, you know, if you really feared that, maybe don't ask me to carry it back to your house. Carry the go-kart four doors down to your house. Now I'm like, I park near these people's house. I'm scared to walk by. What if the kid said to the dad, hey, that guy tried to kidnap me. No, I didn't. It was a very uncomfortable, you know, situation. And I didn't mean to be rude, but I was like, all right, man, I'll see ya. I'm not continuing this. That's weird. Again, good to have your guard up. Little weird. Back after this. It's Beamer on WBEN.
Your line just went down. Production stopped. A supervisor wants answers. And someone's digging through a binder for the maintenance history. Every one of those minutes costs money. And most of the time, that breakdown could have been prevented. That's where MaintainX comes in. MaintainX catches the failure before it happens. Preventative maintenance plans on every key asset to improve reliability. Work orders assigned and tracked right from your phone. Everyone from the floor to the front office is in the loop. Companies on MaintainX have cut unplanned downtime by over 30% and saved thousands on parts and labor every year. See what MaintainX can do for your operation. Try MaintainX free at MaintainX.com, an Autodesk company.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.